This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday as we get ready for another week in June and another 11 months, 10 and a half months before we start worrying about who's going to win the Kentucky Derby. We've got the NBA and the NHL. Very interesting weekend. The NBA goes to Game 3 tomorrow. The Stanley Cup goes tonight. The Husker baseball team, they're going to lose at least one player. As far as the recruits, we know Monty Harrison isn't coming. We don't know yet about Jackson Reitz. We had the Shrine Bowl over the weekend. And this week, the College World Series and U.S. Open get underway, and we dive right into that. Mike Gillespie, head baseball coach at UC Irvine, will join us on the show today. And in the second half of the program, Alex Myers from Golf Digest will break down the U.S. Open. Can Phil come through, or will it be somebody new in the United States Open with no Tiger and really no dominant player right now in the world of golf? So all of that coming up on the program today. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. Had a lot going on. Enjoyed watching the basketball game with you last night. I thought that was a well-played game.
I think they both have been.
Yeah, both games are competitive, and I don't know who the best team is here. Really, I don't know. I don't know why people were bashing on LeBron when he got, you know, basically was hurt. You know what I mean? He couldn't go on and finish. Let's just say that was an injury, you know, but it was a cramp or whatever it was. You know, LeBron's added a lot to the game. I mean, he's fun to watch. He's a very competitive player. He's going to go down in history as one of the better players. But I don't know what it is about him and his mannerisms. I don't know what he does. He doesn't do anything. You know, he just competes hard. And that was a well-played game. But both games, actually, I think, you know, went down with 6 minutes to go. No one knew who was going to win. And even less time than that.
Yeah, and I think, as you discovered for sure last night, definitely – I mean, what would you say, 80% of the people are rooting for the Spurs?
Oh, yeah, and I don't even know if they can name their starting lineup. You know, I mean, I have no problem with somebody that's a Spur fan. You know, I mean, a big-time Spur fan. But how could you get that? I just don't know how you could get that excited and be for one team so much. You know, and you know, when the Yankees, though, when I know you don't like the New York Yankees,
yeah.
Right? I mean, but that's been something that hasn't just – it wasn't something that happened, you know, April 15th. Yeah. So, you know, I know you're going to cheer against the Yankees. But if the Mets were in there, I'd really say, well, you've got a really problem with New York if you're screaming against the Mets. I mean, they haven't been around forever. And you're a Met hater now.
Yeah. I come to discover a long time ago that I basically don't like any team from New York or Los Angeles. And the Dodgers are probably the closest to a team that a guy can root for, because I don't like the Knicks. I don't like the Yankees. I'm not a hockey fan. Obviously, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, so I don't care for the Giants, the Jets, whatever. You know, I don't root for them. So some of them you just don't root for, but you're not a fan. And in L.A., you know, growing up like in Boston and Philadelphia, obviously I didn't care for the Lakers, but like to watch Magic Johnson and James Worthy and Kareem and all those guys play. And the Angels didn't even count back in the day, and then, you know, the Dodgers, whatever. And like I said,
Doug, did you see where the owner and I guess the speaker for California Chrome apologized today. Did you see that he kind of got on there and apologized? Did you
notice
that?
I thought that was interesting. I don't, in live television, live radio, whatever the case may be, there is no live newspaper, but you look at, I'd like to know how that all went down, because they had appeared on Good Morning America a couple of times, maybe more than that, and they are, ABC and ESPN are all Disney, so they've got the connection there. And all those shows originate in New York City, so, I mean, he could have popped into any of them. He could have went to the Today Show, he could have went to CBS This Morning, but he went to Good Morning America, and it looked like it was something late last night or even early this morning, somebody picked up the phone and said, hey, would you have time for Mr. Coburn to come on your show this morning? Because they didn't promote it. They didn't say he was going to be on the show. And then just like all of a sudden, here he is. And, you know, when you're the host, you try to be prepared with a few questions. And they put Robin Roberts up there, number one. And it was uncomfortable. I mean, let's face it. I think when we come to stereotyping people, 60 and 70-year-old men have a hard time expressing their emotions and expressing their feelings just the way that they grew up, you know?
That means I only got a few more years.
But I mean, you just don't see that. You just don't see that. And the whole thing was very uncomfortable, and the backlash. And as we watched it Saturday, and California Chrome didn't win, and we've talked about it before, how it is, I'm not going to say unfair, but it definitely shows. I mean, if you're going to win the Triple Crown, you have to run three races, and then all of a sudden somebody's just taking a shot that only three horses ran all three races. And believe you me, I didn't want to see a three-horse field in the Belmont. But there is something to be said for his point. He just made it at the wrong time in anger right after the race. And that's what happens. You will get, that's why you interview people right after sporting events, because you want raw emotion, immediate reaction. And when you get the reaction that you weren't expecting or don't like, then don't stand up and say, oh my God. And I mean, there's people out there that are just condemning what he's saying, and there's people out there that's saying what he said is the right, maybe has a good point. It was just at the wrong time.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the thing of it is, too, Doug, is he's a very emotional man, because when they did win the Kentucky Derby, I mean, he broke down in tears. Normally, when you win a game, most coaches that win like a Super Bowl or somebody kicks a game-winning field goal, I mean, they are very ecstatic, but there's a little bit of, whoa, man, is this over with? And I know how that other guy across the field must feel right now. You know, when Nebraska beat Northwestern, our players went wild, our fans went wild, but Bo Pelini did. He knew what the Northwestern, is it Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Knew what he felt. You know, we thought, oh, man, if I got beat like this, I know how I'd feel. So there's that little bit of, you know, if you've been there before. But, you know, his emotion when his horse won, he was just so excited. And he was so excited. I mean, I remember him bashing the Kentucky Derby after the Preakness were handing him flowers, because he was just, whatever came off his mind, whatever he was thinking, rolled right off his tongue.
Well,
you know, so.
And
yeah.
He's not polished like a lot of the, you know, if you're talking Bob Baffert, Nick Zito, and I know that Steve is not the trainer, that's Art Sherman. But, I mean, you're talking about people that have been in this spot numerous times. And it doesn't matter what sport you're talking about or at what level. When you're there the first time dealing with the media, sometimes you don't know what to do.
Well, that's a good point. And I think the word polished is very – and his wife, I think, according to a couple of my buddies that were watching it, said she was kind of – taking an elbow and trying to get him to stop. She knew she knew her husband pretty well and said, hey, we've been down this road before. I would imagine the food has been late. They've been someplace at a restaurant, and maybe the food was a little late getting there. And I'm sure he told the waitress a couple things, and he probably had to apologize 2 days later, came back in or whatever. She's been down that road before. But that's one thing that made the story kind of good, though, was you've got an unpolished trainer and an unpolished owner that are going to maybe win the Triple Crown. Wouldn't that be something? That was another added to the thing. And we've seen that in athletics, too, before, where a guy, some pitcher that's 6 and 18, has got a perfect game going.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, whoa, because it could happen at any moment, you know, and then they put that mic in his face. And that was what was so neat about when the Chicago White Sox, I think, had the player, the Detroit Tigers, excuse me, had the guy that about, you know, threw the perfect game and the umpire blew the call and how they kind of made up the next day. And, you know, but they were both a little, I thought they handled it well. So
888-455-ESPN. That's always the number to reach us here on the show. Your thoughts on any of the sports over the weekend, or if you're a big horse racing fan, what you thought of all that went on with the race, the post-race, and the talking here over the last couple of days. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, and the email to the Dent Popper inbox, as always, is Doug and Daddy. Spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Merritt Lawson is our producer of today's program. Jeff Babel's out skinny surfing or something this weekend. He's taking an extra day off, so we'll talk to Jeffrey maybe tomorrow. But our Midtown Mark Cooler question is, Nebraska wide receiver Monte Harrison slipped to 50th overall. What do you expect him to do? Well, before he signed, 57% said come to Nebraska, 43% said sign with the Brewers. Now our Midtown Mark Cooler question, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics in Hastings. Before the Kentucky Derby, should a group of horses be selected and those be the only horses allowed to race in the Triple Crown races, which is what the owner, Steve Coburn, was saying, is that if you can't go in the Derby, then you can't go in any of the other races. The Triple Crown would then cease to exist, Jimmy, if it's changed in any way, if they move the dates of the races in a different way, if they do the selection process differently. You can still call it the Triple Crown, but it will always say this was the Triple Crown through 2014, and then from 2015 on, this change was made, and here's what happened. The problem is you need a damn Triple Crown winner. 36 years is too long. That would take care of the debate. Secretariat, what was it, 24 years from 48 to 72.
Yeah, Citation won it in 48.
And then Secretariat was next, right?
Yeah, Secretariat was next, yeah. And then the next year, somebody won it. Spectacular bid and affirmed right in there in the 70s, right?
Yeah. And so you need somebody to win it because now – People are losing interest in talking about it all the time. I mean, however many times you've had a chance since affirmed in 78 to win the Triple Crown and nobody's been able to do it, and this was, you know, finishing fourth or fifth in the race. I guess you can't say that's as close as anybody's come, but even when they turn for home, the actual race, and we'll get to that in a moment, but what do you think? Should they change it? Or do they need to keep it as it is, and that's just the way it is?
They got to keep it the way it is. They have to keep it the way it is. These three-year-olds get better. It's unfair to some horses because the top 20 money winners, they have a little a program, and, you know, you get points. And they changed it already how to get in the Kentucky Derby, Doug. You know, how to get into the Kentucky Derby, it's been changed. I mean, they do it on a point system now. Mm-hmm. It used to be on money. You know, but now they do it on a point system. It kind of stops fillies maybe from making so much money and jumping in there and taking a spot. But and then they've also, you know, they got 20 horses running in the race. They didn't allow 20 to run in the Kentucky Derby at one time. So it has changed a little bit. But one time, I believe, and we can look this up, and not important, but I believe it was every 2 weeks. They actually had the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, and there was only 2 weeks difference. And they actually changed it to 3 weeks to try to get some of these horses, you know, into the Belmont that had ran in the first two. That was what the – so they tried to give them an extra week's rest. But there are horses that are three-year-olds that aren't very good maybe February 15th, but they get a lot better about May 15th. Well, guess what? The race has already been ran.
Yeah.
But now they've got a horse that's pretty good at a mile and a half, and they're ready for it, and he wants a chance, and he's fresh, and he's got a chance, and he won by six lengths last time. You know, and that happens. I mean, you see that in athletics all the time where a kid in the ninth grade maybe wasn't a great athlete. But by the time he's a junior or senior, guess what? So, hey, you know, is the Triple Crown somebody that, hey, wins the – you got to, you know, in cross country, girls cross country, I see this all the time. A ninth grader wins it. State champion. Yeah. Sophomore year, state champion. junior year, she gets fifth, and their senior year, she doesn't go out for cross country. You know, so, I mean, yeah, I don't know how to say that, you know, any fairer than the fact that in track and field, I see kids run the 800 and the 1600 and the 3200, and if you win all three, you kind of got the triple crown that day. But I guarantee you not. Everybody, you're going to see a kid run the 400 and the 800. You're going to see another kid that passed on the 3200 to prepare himself for the 16 only. You know, and that's kind of what it's like trying to win that triple crown. You got to be way the best.
Well, folks, you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at any time, ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot more to get to. UC Irvine coach Mike Gillespie, Alex Myers of Golf Digest. We've got the draft. We've got NBA and NHL, the Shrine Bowl. We'll chat more about it. Love to hear from you as well. We'll be right back. Come on in. Let
the games begin. Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Keno. You can call it plain Keno. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Keno parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here. Come on in.
Let the games begin. Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle. And so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mainly cloudy skies today, rain showers likely, especially through the midday, highs then in the middle 60s. Tonight, cloudy with a low of 52. Moving into Tuesday, mainly sunny, high of 77.
Right now, 55.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. As we've moved into June and Dodge is still celebrating their 100-year anniversary, don't forget that the 2014 Avengers right now, brand new, on the lot, over $5,000 off the manufacturer because they're doing some different things with the 2015s. And so right now, over $5,000 off. Get 30 miles to the gallon on some of these deals. And, of course, if you're looking for a family vehicle that's going to get you good gas mileage, right there it is. The 2015 Chrysler 200 is also in stock. And right now, Jeeps are about as hot, the Jeep brand. You're not necessarily always talking about Jeep as we're thinking about, but the Jeep brand, Jeep Cherokees, all of the great Jeep products are about as hot as they can be across the country. Stop by and see what they've got today with the Jeep vehicles as well. A great selection on the lot now of 2014 and 2015 Silverados as well. So you can look at them at South 2nd Avenue or on a rainy, drizzly day like this. Check it out online at thinkmidway.com, where you can find out more about every vehicle on the lot. Midway,
Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with you on this Tuesday. And as we continue on, Mike Gillespie, UC Irvine, scheduled to join us at the bottom of the hour. We've talked about the NBA a little bit here. We've talked about the Triple Crown, the NHL, which we are not going to get too deep into because we're not professionals about that. But it doesn't matter the sport. Can you believe that you can never lead in regulation, yet you're up 2 games to none in the series? And that's the story for the Kings. They have never led in regulation. Both games have went to overtime, and the Kings have won them both. And my prediction of the Rangers in 5, obviously not going to happen, but they sure could be up 2-0 going home, making it look a lot better. Now, New York has to play just as hard, and I think if they play anywhere near as well as they did in the West, they're going to win every game in New York, and we're going to have a great Stanley Cup series. It's going to come down to the best of 3.
Yeah, you know, to be soccer and hockey are so much alike because, like you say, there's so many games that are like 1-0 or they're always tied. You know, I mean, there's never a lot of a goal scored, I guess what I'm saying. You know, in basketball, I mean, you know, you've got 99-96 games. And, you know, if you look at that, that's 9.9 to 9.6 going back and forth. But, I mean, there's always lead changes. You know, hey, there were 16 lead changes here, and there was, you know, all this that's going on. But, you know, it's just a different game. And, you know, I guess that's one reason I'm probably not as interested in it as I am in some of the other sports. You know, I enjoy watching it, and I do, you know, I when the United States hockey team's playing, and, you know, in the Olympics, you know, I've kind of always enjoyed watching that. You know, you're for somebody, but I guess, you know, I need more action and more lead changes and stuff instead of watching some that's 0-0 again, you know.
Well, and that was neat about last night, too. You get a goal every once in a while. It's 5-4 in overtime. You get a goal to pique your interest. It doesn't have to be 1-0. 5-4, way more exciting than 1-0.
I think so, but again, you know,
just like a basketball game, way more exciting 98-96 than 72-69, okay? It's just the way it is. Yes, defense is good, but defense still comes up big in all of these games. You don't go double overtime if you don't have defense, so there you go with that. Just heard back from Gino Bucola. I texted him again this morning, and it you know,
gives us a $25 winner.
Yeah, it was a huge winner. Who went up in odds and not down once the odd boards went up and people were betting on Saturday. And so if you had Totalist like Gino, I mean, I'm just saying, if you followed Gino from TVG, you made pretty good cash. Now, nobody had commissioner in there, so he had commanding curve in the Kentucky Derby, and it allowed some of our listeners to flat out hit some trifectas. Awesome. If you had Totalist on Saturday, you made some money because it paid good across the board. And even though he only won by a nose, because imagine if he'd have been second, how much more the try and the super and all that stuff would have paid. But Gino Bucola, always glad to be on the show, and we'll have him again. And I think just a kind of a final comment to put the horse racing to bed here, I think we're going to have one heck of a Breeders' Cup this fall, which, again, we'll have here on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, like you say, Doug, you made a good comment about, and I think this is very about, they needed a Triple Crown winner. What Muhammad Ali did, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, what he did for the heavyweight boxing and the way he promoted it, because he got people interested in boxing. I mean, you talk about getting someone interested. And at that time, and times have changed now, during the 1950s and 60s and early, you know, the heavyweight champion of the world, if you go back and you look at those and how those people were regarded as athletes, and hey, this is the guy, this is the heavyweight champion. Well, horses were kind of like that too in those days. You know, hey, this is our thoroughbred, this is the horse we have. And it was during World War II and right after World War II, but those sports have kind of taken a backseat to some of the other sports that we have right now. And I think that's what your point was when you said the horse racing industry needs a Triple Crown winner. I've always been interested in horse racing, but I've kind of lost my interest in the heavyweight championship in boxing. I've done that.
Well, let's just face it. There was a big boxing match on Saturday. Who won?
Good point.
I mean, unless you're really into it, who won? And is it finally over? Will we never have to utter the name Casey Martinez again in the state of Nebraska? That is the father of Taylor. That is the father of Drake. And Drake, over the weekend, leaves the football team. He was never
on the field apart because he redshirted last year, injury. Then he had his tonsils out this spring. And it just continues, unfortunately, because you could just sit here and take the wrong side with his whole Martinez saga. Because if you didn't like Taylor, you're probably against the family. You don't like the comments of his dad. You think that he controlled everything. I mean, there's that side of it.
What did his dad say?
Drake sounds like a wuss. I mean, that's, you know, unfortunately. Now, that's one side you can take. Or the kids were hurt. It's the worst breaks you've seen. Hopefully, Drake Martinez, now that he's going to transfer to wherever, will get healthy and be able to have whatever kind of career he wants. But Casey Martinez, in a text, said, quote, "Although Coach Pelini had some plans for Drake to see action this season, he ran into some health issues that became frustrating and lost quite a bit of weight and strength. He's now recovered most of it, yet he was pretty adamant about getting a fresh start in a new school," end quote. If things go better with his brother, Drake's still here. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Husker fans can be harsh, just like all fans can be pro college sports, whatever the case may be. Monte Harrison, $1.8 million? Yeah, I'd have left too. I'd have went to the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'd have left for half of that.
Again,
yeah.
In baseball, they've kind of got, okay, if you're the second pick, this is what the average is. If you're the 12th pick, this is what it is. And I was shocked to learn that the 50th pick in the draft would be a $1.1 million slot. That's kind of what you would expect to get as a contract, signing bonus, all of that put together. And the Brewers said they are going to get him for $1.8 million, which, bang. He sucked. He picks that up right away. He says, "I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to make the Huskers wait. I knew what I wanted to do. Here's what we're going to do." Jackson Reitz out of Norris and all the other kids still have July 18th. Three Huskers were picked up that are currently on the team that were, of course, juniors on Saturday in the 12th round. Pat Kelly going to the Minnesota Twins. And then in the 19th round, Zach Hirsch to Milwaukee and Aaron Bummer to the Chicago White Sox, and Bummer has told a variety of sports outlets that he is going to sign and he will not return to Nebraska next year. He was drafted out of high school. Kind of the quote was, and you'll hear more on Hail Varsity this afternoon from Chris Schmidt and the boys, Dave Gustafson, that Bummer said, "I got drafted out of high school. I got drafted here again. I don't know if I want to take the chance of trying to get drafted three times. It's time for me to go," and so he shall.
You know, Doug, here's something that was interesting. I went to Shield yesterday, and that's a store in Omaha. And I mean, I'm just telling you real quick. But, you know, they have players' jerseys there that you can buy. And, of course, you know, LeBron James jerseys, they had plenty of those. I mean, everybody knows LeBron James. There was some Derek Jeter, you know, New York Yankees last year. You know, there's some, and there were some other, you know, players. But what's interesting to me was, I'll say his name wrong, Puig, you know, from the Dodgers.
Yeah, Yasiel Puig. Yeah,
plenty of those, and a lot of them sold. You know what I mean? I mean, you could tell the rack, like there were three different racks of his stuff. And you guess which player was up there now? A number two for the Browns, the Cleveland Browns. Johnny Manziel. Isn't that something? Hasn't taken a snap yet. But the interest level, I mean, and he wasn't, you know, again, you know, you're talking about not the number one selection in the NFL draft, not the number two. Hey, it's just the intrigue and how many people, you know, might want one of those. And they knew to get those. And that's an amazing thing. And that's another thing why these players get this much money when they're signing bonuses and stuff.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Plus, later this week, hopefully tomorrow, Drew Anderson, Kearney kid, played for the Huskers, now is a scout with the Milwaukee Brewers, in on the Monte Harrison signing and recruiting, and also with Hirsch. And he is going to join us to talk about the scouting and what he saw from these players that made the Milwaukee Brewers draft them.
What day is he on? What day?
We're trying to solidify that. Okay. Couldn't go today because of scheduling conflicts, but we will try and get that taken care of here in the next day or two. But right now, you know, everybody has their, this is our best time of the year for sports and all that. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's the best time, but it sure is one of the most fun times. And that is when the College World Series has arrived, and it begins this Saturday in Omaha. And, of course, the first game up on Saturday, we'll have two of the great coaches in college baseball, Texas taking on UC Irvine. And we got a chance to talk with UC Irvine coach Mike Gillespie earlier this year because, obviously, they played the Huskers, and he takes take some time to join us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Coach, thanks for the time, and let us throw our hat in there. Congratulations.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. It's nice to have a chance to talk to you guys.
It never gets – it just can't get old. I mean, but it's so hard. Every single year, this is the goal of every single team. And let's face it, Coach, there was a stretch in there where you're playing Cal Poly, you're playing Cal State Fullerton, and you're playing Long Beach in the middle of May, and things aren't going so well for your troops. What kept the spirit going? What got it turned around?
Well, you're right about everything you just said. And it really was a very, very rough stretch. And those three teams that you mentioned, in my view, were all really good and really hot. They all were a playoff team. They did not win in the regional. They each got to a final game in the regional. But I guess to try and answer your question more directly is that, you really only have one good choice, and that's to, you know, keep grinding and keep plugging. I find that players are a whole lot more resilient than coaches are. So, down or that they had submitted and surrendered. I kind of felt like each time we went out that they're ready to play and that they played hard. So we didn't have a whole lot of complaint about the way they were trying to go at it.
Coach, obviously it's been 3 months ago since you played at Nebraska and all the conference stuff took place in between now and then. But since we last talked, what's the most significant difference about your baseball team?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not so sure it is altogether different. As you guys well remember, and I do too, we went to Nebraska and lost 2 out of 3. The team that played there was pretty much the same group of players that have kept playing all year. This team, we knew going in, fellas, that this team was going to be light on offense, and that if we had any chance, we would have to pitch, and we would have to avoid injury. This is all, I think, a formula that everybody has, at least with regard to pitching and avoiding injuries, because had we had injuries to the two or three key pitchers in the program, we'd have been toast. What we did do through the course of the year was we really were quite consistent on the mound, and we did play, I think, good defense, which is different than great defense, and sometimes great defense. And so most of the time we were in games. Every once in a while, you know, you explode, something happens on offense, and you score more than the the patented 2-3 runs. But typically, it was going to be a year that if we're going to win, we'd have to feel like we got to prepare to win 1-0. We're going to have to pitch and defend and scratch and get a run and win 1-0, which is not reasonable. But the point was pretty obvious that we're going to have to win low-scoring games, and that's been the case for the most part. And if we're gonna have any chance when we get to Omaha, well, it's not gonna change. We're not gonna explode on offense. It's not what we are, and so we're really gonna have to pitch.
Coach, did you find this year, like, you know, when you win these 1-0 games, 2-0 games, you know, your players have got to run the bases correctly. You got to get the bunts down. Your 6, 7, and 8 hitters have got to take extra pitches, you know, try to get the pitch count up on the other teams. Did anything, one thing, speed of your speed on your team or your outfield arms, was there any one thing that came up that you thought, hey, we're really good at this and I didn't know we'd be that good at it?
Well, no. I wish I could say yes to that. I mean, the statistics don't lie in this case. I mean, we don't have any stolen bases. I think that it's not just about the fact that we don't have base stealing type speed, but college baseball has done a great job over the last, oh gosh, I don't know, 20 years of controlling the running game. Pitchers are much, 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 much quicker to the plate than once was the case. So even with guys that can really run, it's not as easy maybe as it might have been back in the day. I think that we are reasonably good first to third and second to home, that kind of thing. But really the truth is that I don't think there is anything remarkable about this team. I think that people that watched us and played us and whatnot are astounded that we are in Omaha. And so I'm not oblivious to that, and I'm okay with that. I really am. I mean, we're going to be there, and I mean, I don't really care who's shocked. That's okay. But I think that the one thing that gives us a chance is that we pitch, and we don't do it with power arms either. I mean, people will say, how did these guys get guys out? But we find that if you do have quality command, and if you can mix pitches and not give in on, you know, on hitters counts, you can have a chance to stop the big inning. And I really don't mean to suggest that we cannot hit. We actually have, we've actually got our three or four pretty good hitters and two dangerous hitters, and then a bunch of guys that have gotten a key hit here and a key hit there. So it's not going to be a team that I think is going to be a sexy team, but I trust that we'll compete and that we'll probably give a pretty good count of ourselves.
We're talking with UC Irvine Anteater head baseball coach Mike Gillespie here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. They'll have the first game at 2 o'clock Central in Omaha right here on ESPN Radio. Mike, after you knock off the number one team in the country in Oregon State, what did you have to do with this team? Because you're going on the road again. You beat number one, but the goal still hadn't been accomplished. Was there any special message to the team, or how did they handle themselves leading up to last weekend's Super Regional?
Well, I think that what we have attempted to try and convey to them, which is easier said than done all along, but certainly both going to Oregon State and then going to Oklahoma State, was that that we really were very, very capable of matching up and competing with anybody. And I think that because the truth is that through the course of the year, we really did play several good teams, including, by the way, that Nebraska team. I don't think anybody knew at that time when we were back there that they were as good as they were, in fact, into what they turned out to be. But we tried to make the point that, look, we really are playing frontline teams, and win or lose, we found that we could compete, and that it was not necessarily an upset to win. And that's always been the message, and I think our players get that. I think they know that if we play well, not beyond what we are, but I mean that we do throw good strikes and we catch it, and we give ourselves some competitive at bats. Well, you know, we got a chance, and that was the message going to Oregon State, and it was going to Oklahoma State. I mean, we certainly knew that that regional at Oregon State was a tough regional, and that it was going to be no picnic, anything but going to Oklahoma State. But that, hey, look, we know that we can. We know we can hold our own, so let's let it fly. And that's no more inspirational and no more complicated than that.
Hey, Coach, I appreciate your honesty here. This is amazing the way you're just – because what you're saying is really true about – you know, you play 50 baseball games, and the key thing, I think, is you want to have a good schedule. You want to make sure that you're scheduling people, and your league is tougher than people. I think people should – I think your league, your conference is better than a lot of people realize. And the other thing is, just like you said, hey, let's just don't walk a lot of players. Hey, they come up to bat, let's avoid some walks, let's don't hit anybody. And like you say, don't throw the ball down the middle when it's 3-0 or 2-0, because if you do, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Well – you're right, and I mean, that's certainly is our view, and what I'm hearing from you is, I mean, this is coach talk, and it sounds like you ought to be coaching this team, because that's exactly what we try to convey, and I don't think we need to make it more complicated than that. It's easier to say that than do it, but we really think that in its most simplification, the game is throw strikes, play catch, and put the ball in play, which is a term that was popularized out here by a really preeminent community college coach, Wally Kincaid, at Cerritos College out here, but a lot of coaches came out of that tree. And I'm talking about George Horton. I'm talking about Dave Snow, who was at Long Beach State. And there have been numerous coaches. And that phrase, I think, resonates with us. And so, again, that simplifies it. But when it does come down to its simplest terms, that's what it is.
Coach, I'd love to be in your dugout. I won't say much. I'll just sit at the end of the dugout. But if you'd like me down there, and I'll take that as a non-paid coach, and I'll just get way out of your way.
Well, hey, if you got time to come on down, come on down. Our players would rather hear you than me, trust me.
Over 1,000 wins to his credit. Mike Gillespie's UC Irvine. Our last minute, a couple more questions. Coach, we'll let you out of here. Have you decided Andrew throws such a gem for you in game two? Elliott holds things down in game one for you. Will they be 1-2? Who's going to go against Texas? And Texas is kind of like you. They're not hitting the ball very well, but they sure can pitch. Just your thought about the first-round matchup as well.
Well, we're just digging in to try to find out more about Texas, but that's what we presume to be the case. I mean, we certainly are familiar with the fact that they can really pitch, and we don't know much about their, you know, their lineup. But we will pitch Andrew Morales in that game. We really haven't had much talk about it yet. We got home late last night, and we're just going to get together this morning. But I'm sure that's what we'll do. He will have gone from Sunday to Saturday. I mean, that's doable. So I think we can do that.
And no national seeds on your side of the bracket. How big can the Anteaters dream here?
Well, we certainly don't think about that national seed deal. I think we know that's a flawed process. I know, looking at the teams that are in this bracket, it's intimidating. I'll tell you that. But we've just learned this year that, I mean, this is the cliche that anything can happen in this game is truly, while a cliche, it's spot on. And So I think we fully expect to run into outstanding pitching, regardless of who we're playing at this point. And I know that some of the household names are not going to be there that I think probably create a lot of interest in Omaha. But hey, in the end, I think we find that the College World Series is always a pretty good show.
And, Mike, last question. It was Major League Baseball draft this last week. You had a couple of kids go early. You've been around this process long enough. Now that you're still playing, these kids have a lot on their mind. Connor Spencer, your leading hitter, he's drafted in the eighth round by the Yankees, so I'm sure there's a lot bouncing around in his head. And Chris picked by the Rockies there. How do you balance that you got baseball to play, and yet, young man, I know you've got a big decision to make?
Well, you've really hit on one of the really hot button topics for college baseball, the whole business, and it's been this way for many, many, many years, and I don't see the solution to it or how it would change going down the road. I mean, all the college baseball people that do get to the playoffs lament the fact that you got to deal with the draft while you're playing, and you're right. It is an issue. It's a big issue. It's a huge issue. The fact that on the day that we played the first game against Oklahoma State was the day that our players were dealing with the draft. And like every team, we're not unique in that regard. It is just what it is, as to use another cliche. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. We do talk about it. You try to trust that they will be able to put it aside, but who's kidding who? I think every kid's going to be different in his ability to deal with that. I think it's easier now that the draft is behind us. I think it was a bigger problem when the draft, and there was times when the draft was being held during the College World Series. That is nobody likes that. I don't even think professional baseball likes that, but it's just the way it is. It's the way the calendar works, and they've got minor league teams to get started. We get it. We know how it has to be done, but you're right. It's an issue. I would just repeat that I think that the fact that it's now been done, they'll be able to concentrate on enjoy this experience.
Well, they'll be in the first game of the 68th College World Series. The UC Irvine Anteaters and Coach Mike Gillespie, gracious with his time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Coach, we'll let you get back to work, and we can't wait to see you in Omaha.
Hey, fellas, thanks for the opportunity to talk to you. I'll be seeing you.
You bet. Take care. Coach Gillespie, outstanding. Just outstanding to chat with Coach G and a second time this year. And it's always, and we knew this too, Jimmy, that the way these brackets set up, there were a lot of Nebraska opponents, a lot of these guys that we have talked to on the show before this year. And we are, again, not solidified on our time, but Texas coach Augie Garrido is set to join us at some point this week. That is always special. That was, people always ask, what are some of the best interviews you ever had? You know, the people that you're, Augie Garrido, even though it's Texas, I mean, he is not Texas blood all the way through, but he is now. He's just a great character, a great coach, and I look forward to talk with him. And we've also solidified Drew Anderson will join us tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, talk about the draft. So Irvine's going to be easy to root for. There's no doubt that first game, Irvine versus Texas, if you're not wearing the Texas burn orange, everybody else in that stadium is going to be rooting for Irvine.
Yeah, that'll be like the Spurs and the Heat, you know, like we were talking about. Irvine. Hey, and, you know, the thing of it is you know, if you don't walk batters, I mean, if you don't walk a lot of hitters, you've really put yourself in a really good chance to win a low-scoring game. You know, I mean, and that's what he's talking about. That's what he's got to do. And like he said, it was a good point he made, too, about you don't have to play great defense. Sometimes, you know, you try to do too much. You know, you try to make that great play. Hey, just do what comes in, get things done, throw it to the correct base. You know, don't try to throw the ball and throw somebody out if you can't. Just keep that runner at second, you know, from the ball, singles. And, yeah, that sounds like he's just, you know, they're really just doing things, and they're just doing things the correct way, and that's why they're there.
UC Irvine is hitting .272, Texas .268 as a team. Team ERA, UC Irvine is 2.76, and Texas is 2.3.
And, Doug, what are their records? What's Texas' record? Do you have that in front of you? And what is
Irvine is setting at 40-23 on the season, and Texas is 43-19.
We're very close, isn't it? Yeah, that's amazing.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Alex Myers, Golf Digest, U.S. Open, when we come back.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here, Jimmy. Okay. Brent says, hey, guys, I say keep the Triple Crown process the same. That is why it is so difficult to win. I believe the change in breeding has a direct hand in why horses can't finish it off in the Belmont. Each year that we have a horse with a chance, the water cooler buzz is alive. People who normally don't follow horses actually watch and show up at the track to wager. I have some friends who've never stepped foot into Fawner Park, but went Saturday and were excited like little girls going to see One Direction.
That's what he said. That's pretty good.
I agree. A Triple Crown winner would be awesome, but keep it the same. Brent, thanks for your email. You can email the Dent Popper inbox anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, we've talked NBA, we've talked NHL, we've talked the Triple Crown, College World Series coming to Omaha. We've talked with Coach Gillespie from UC Irvine. Now let's talk about the U.S. Open, the second major of the year. Bubba Watson, the only man with a chance to bring home all four, which just doesn't seem possible in this day and age, but you never know. And Alex Myers graciously joins us again from Golf Digest here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Jim Langan. Alex, welcome back to the program. How are you today?
Thanks, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're fired up for a little golf. There's so much going on, and with no Tiger and no dominant player right now and all the demons that seem to be around this tournament with Phil Mickelson, it seems like it's going to be hard to pick a winner, and I'm looking at these tee times. I'm looking at these pairings. This could be a real fun tournament.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, even the last few years when you had Tiger playing well, or at least last year, or even with Phil last year, you know, these major wins seem to almost come out of nowhere. I mean, we've had big names win the majors the last few years, but it still hasn't been one guy, you know, bringing in a whole slew of them or anything like that. So, you know, you look at who are the favorites to win, and, you know, after the first couple names, you know, Adam Scott, Rory McIlroy, you quickly get down to guys who are, you know, 40-1, 50-1, odds to win. So certainly you have a lot of guys who are coming into this week with a shot. You mentioned Bubba Watson. You know, it is impossible to win the Grand Slam, certainly even tougher than the Triple Crown in horse racing. But, you know, he certainly shouldn't be overlooked. This is going to be a long course, and I think he's playing as well as anybody right now.
Phil continues to battle, and so much was made of not having a top 10 finish, and then yesterday he finishes in a tie for 11th, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. He points towards this one to the point of it's almost agonizing when he doesn't win and he gets so close. So let's start there. Is Phil the favorite in your eyes, and how does this course lay out for him?
Normally, I would agree with that and say, like you said, I mean, this is what he's gearing up for all year. And you can kind of throw out the rest of his results. But over this past weekend, he changed putters. He was changing his putting grip. You know, there just seems to be – obviously, there's the FBI probe into the insider trading thing. I mean, there just seems to be a lot more questions with him than even usual. And certainly, he showed that he can contend at Pinehurst. Obviously, we all remember 1999 when he came so close. And obviously, all the other – close calls that he's had with the record six runner-ups, but this year I just can't make him the favorite just with all these other questions. And you know, the tie for 11th yesterday, you know, that actually matched his best finish all year. And you know, we're in mid-June, and for Phil Mickelson to not have top 10 on the PGA Tour is a little alarming.
Hey, this is Jim Lang, and I've got a question for you about the course a little bit. Do you have a feel on the course, like what's it going to take to win this tournament? What might be a really good one-day score, anything like that? You got a feel on that?
Well, you know, there's so many things that could happen, especially with the weather. You know, everybody's saying right now that the course is really baked out and going to play really firm and fast, which usually would tend us to think that the scores are going to be tougher because holding those greens is going to be a real challenge. But there's also, you know, rain in the forecast every day. So, you know, depending on that, the conditions could change a lot. But, you know, if we get the conditions that they have currently right now, you know, I think it's going to be really tough to shoot anything better than, you know, I think a 68 would be a great score. I mean, you might see one guy maybe shoot a 67 or a 66, but certainly, you know, this is the U.S. Open. I would expect somewhere around even par to win, like it has at this course the last couple times it's been contested here.
Alex Myers, Golf Digest, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. The U.S. Open tees it up early on Thursday morning. There have been some changes. They've obviously been doing more than just prepping this course for the U.S. Open. They've done some actual land and moving of dirt and all that kind of things. Plus, the rough is not like a typical U.S. Open. Can you talk about some of that?
Yeah, you know, they took out, I think, 35 acres worth of just rough from, you know, the course, and they've kind of just let the natural vegetation grow back in. And, you know, that doesn't mean that guys can just spray it all over the course. Certainly there's going to be, you know, little wispy bushes and kind of sand-like areas that you know, if they miss the fairway, they're going to be hitting off of. And, you know, so you can have some really tough lies in there. But it's not going to be that traditional U.S. Open thick rough where, you know, you see the ball bounce into it and just dive down and bury. And, you know, the guys are going to have to hack it back out to the fairway. You're not going to see that this time. You're going to see a lot more, you know, guys are going to have to be creative with shots off the natural areas. And certainly Pinehurst, you know, what it's really known for, obviously, is its greens and the areas around the greens where, you know, if balls miss in certain spots, they're going to funnel off. They're going to come down into these chipping areas. You're going to have to see, again, guys be very creative playing either bump and runs or pick different types of pitch shots. And certainly it's a course that's going to present a lot of challenges. And also it's been lengthened. So it's actually per shot going to be the longest U.S. Open in history at over 75. Parts for only a par 70.
Yeah, do you know the pin placement in these, the greens, where they put the pins is so critical with how it's going to be scored. It seems to me that about only three of the holes are they kind. It's the other 15 that they're mean on. I mean, what's your feeling and what's your take? Do the players ever say anything about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, that definitely comes up. I think the USGA, they always maintain that each day it's a kind of a combination of six difficult, six medium, and six easy. Now, a lot of people think, well, I don't know, on Sunday it seems like they kind of rev it up a little and set it up even trickier. But that's kind of what they claim. They, you know, they try to mix it up. But again, I think these greens in particular are just so difficult that even an easy pin placement on these greens doesn't necessarily make for an easy hole. So, again, you know, these guys are going to be tested in a lot of ways, but surely with those, you know, pin positions and the greens, and again, especially if we don't get as much rain as expected, it's just going to be even tougher for these guys to hold the greens and to navigate them once they get there.
Just another minute or so here with Alex Myers of Golf Digest. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here, Alex. So we've jumped around it a little bit. What's the type of player? Who's the kind of guy that you're looking for this week?
Well, you know, I really do think Bubba is definitely one of the guys I'm looking for. The guy who I'm going with, though, is Matt Kuchar. And, you know, I just feel he's a guy, he's a good enough player. He should have a major already under his belt. I think he was very disappointed at the Masters. He had a great chance there on Sunday, really didn't capitalize. I think this course sets up for him in that, you know, guys are not going to hit 16, 17, 18 greens a day. They're just not. It's the U.S. Open. And they're going to be challenged with their short game. And I think Kuchar's short game the last few years has just really excelled. I think he has that creativity around the greens. I think he has the great hands. To you know, you're going to have to make a lot of up and downs this week at Pinehurst. And I just think his putter's solid enough and his short game is good enough for him to save enough pars to be on top on Sunday.
This is also kind of off the beaten path here, though, but everybody that watches it, we'll have some coverage here from ESPN on ESPN Radio, but everybody that watches it's on NBC. The contract changes. Fox is getting into golf. Your thoughts? What's everybody saying?
Well, I think it's going to be a little. If you used, I grew up watching this tournament on NBC. That's what I know. You know, hearing Johnny Miller do this tournament, you can feel the passion that he brings to the telecast. And you know, certainly Johnny's still going to be there for the other tournaments. But I think it is going to be a bit of a bittersweet week if you're, you know, a real golf fan who likes to watch on TV. I think NBC has done a terrific job for 20 years. I think even that opening theme song by Yanni in celebration of man is very inspiring. Very, you know, goes with the event so perfectly, and having Johnny there. I think, you know, golf fans are going to miss it, but certainly should appreciate we have them for one more year and, you know, just enjoy a great week.
And, Alex, if you could go out Thursday and follow, and maybe you will, follow just one group, which one's the most intriguing to you, even if it's not? I mean, we can easily say Phil Mickelson's group. We can easily say Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, Charles Schwartzel. I'll throw a couple out, and then I'll let you go. I think the Furyk, Stricker, Bill Haas, that's a very interesting get-together. Goosen, Ogilvy, Glover, and then anytime Miguel Angel Jimenez isn't with anybody, I think that's fun too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think that Stricker, Furyk, Haas is an interesting one. I mean, you know, Furyk played so great. He definitely should not be counted out here. I'd have him ranked as, you know, definitely in my top 10. And Stricker, you just don't know what he's going to bring anymore. He just doesn't play so infrequently. And certainly Bill Haas is a guy with five tour wins. You know, you'd expect him to start competing in majors. So that is a nice group there. But of course, yeah, Adam Scott and Bubba Watson, I mean, I think they're the two best players in the world right now. You know, that and obviously anytime you watch Bubba Watson play, it's even if he's shooting an 80, it's still fun to watch him hit the ball around. It's just there's nobody else really like him when it comes to shaping shots.
Do you have a player that's really young, early 20s, or a player that's in his late 40s? Do you have anybody there that you think's got a chance to win this thing?
Well, really young. I mean, it's tough not to look at the guy who just won at the Memorial, Hideki Matsuyama. You know, he just turned 23. I think he's only 22. And he finished top 10 at the U.S. Open last year, his first chance, and top 10 at the British Open last year in his first chance. So he showed he can play in majors. And obviously now with a win under his belt on the PGA Tour, he's ranked number 13 in the world. You know, I think the American golf fan is kind of just slowly learning about him, but he played in the President's Cup last year, and you know, all signs point to him being a star in the future.
That's some good stuff. We've got the favorite. We've got a youngster. One more long shot, Alex, just to round it out here, because all our listeners, we're just coming off the Triple Crown. They love these long shots. You got anybody?
Well, you know, I guess, you know, if 80-1 is considered a long shot, then, like, you know, Bill Haas, I just saw the odds for him, 80-1, a little tempting. If you like, you know, I think he's, again, a guy who's won five times on tour, but kind of lying under the radar because he hasn't really popped up in a major yet. I just think it's a matter of time for someone who's that good, and, you know, a guy who obviously won the tour championship in the FedEx Cup a few years ago.
Well, Alex, we will be looking forward to another great weekend of golf and coming right down to the 18th hole at Pinehurst on Sunday. We appreciate you giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll do it again.
Sounds good, guys. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. From Golf Digest, Alex Myers with us here on ESPN Radio. And again, depending on what you look at, Matsuyama and Haas both in that 80-1 range.
Right. Hey, you know what's interesting, Doug? He made a great point, too, on this is – you know, when you watch on Sunday, it doesn't look to me like those greens are 6, 6, and 6. They all look really hard. Now, sometimes the par threes, it seems like they maybe on a par three, they'll guide one of those things right to the hole because everybody's, you know, wanting to watch a hole in one, and they kind of give them one chance to get one. But other than that, that pin placement is always really tough. I would have trouble. You know, if you and I went and played the course, we're just going to make a rule right now that no three putts. But that means
how about no four putts?
No, we're just going to pick it up after two. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's it. Hey, I'm up. Next hole. Here we go.
We got everybody three putts here locally. I can't even imagine what would happen there. Matsuyama 40-1 according to Bovada this morning, and Haas is 80-1. Vegas Insider hasn't necessarily updated their odds here over the last couple of days, but last check they had both of them at 80-1. We're going to be back on the Doug and Daddy Show. Wrap things up on this Monday edition in a moment.
Doug Duda here for Prairie iNet Wireless Internet. Name two things you hate worse than unreliable internet service. I can't even think of one. Thank goodness we have Prairie iNet. I love these guys. They're local, so if there's ever an issue, you can talk to real people in our country. I called Prairie iNet to handle my internet service because the service is notoriously reliable, they're local, and best of all, Prairie iNet doesn't make you sign a contract ever. What does that say about Prairie iNet? That they don't force you into a contract? You know that they'll work to earn your business every month. You'll love your service with Prairie iNet Wireless Internet. No risk, no contract, and the switch was so easy. One call and their professional team had me surfing in no time. Plus, if you mention my name, you'll get your first month free and a 6-month membership to Netflix. What are you waiting for? Call Prairie iNet, your internet provider. 308 535-1858. That's 535-1858.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
It's that time again to dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 13th annual Faces Rally, June 13th through the 15th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, bike show, bike games, hog roast, the band Area 52, vendors, and other activities. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 13th annual Faces Rally in Upland, June 13th through the 15th. Don't miss out. Brought to you by Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Pioneer Seeds, Doug Bolt, Upland, and J&S Recycling, John Klein Upland.
Mainly cloudy skies today. Rain showers likely, especially through the midday. Highs then in the middle 60s. Tonight, cloudy with a low of 52. Moving into Tuesday, mainly sunny, high of 77.
Right now, 55. And I'm steady, but I'm starting to shake.
And I don't know how much more I can take. Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Oh, it was so nice to get a little rain. So nice to get a little rain. I know UNK's got their team football camp going on. How do you think they're feeling right now? It's not 90 out there and humid.
Well, you know, one thing about that UNK football camp, they can at least get on the AstroTurf, you know what I mean, because of that. But, you know, I know in TNL that you're still going to – it's not going to rain every day, so you're going to have to get an advertisement on those, I think. You're going to have to do something.
Make sure that you are ready to go when we are in that long, long heat wave. Again, spoking is something that TNL does not do, and I've never seen a picture that just demonstrates it so much and so well with the GPS, looking at a field, looking at a non-TNL pivot system, one of them that starts and stops and is electric and goes on and off. Well, it's going to be missing part of your field. That is not the case with TNL, and they have been doing it for over 60 years to over 65 countries in the entire United States. Maybe that doesn't matter to you because you're here in the listening area in Nebraska, Kansas, and on our World Wide Web, wherever you may be in the listening area. But they take care of you starting from their worldwide headquarters in Hastings. Safety, high maintenance costs, and unexpected downtime will no longer be major concerns when you let TNL and your local TNL dealer give you lasting value and decades of reliability. TNL Irrigation Systems, easier on you for a lifetime. Go to TLIRR.com or you can call them at 800-330-4264 to find out more about TNL Irrigation Systems. Well, we've talked about quite a bit today. Anything that you missed?
No, well,
or that we missed that you wanted to chat about?
Well, you know, the only thing is you know, we're in Nebraska, so we want to talk about the College World Series. And I think, you know, there's a Ole Miss is playing, I think, UL Lafayette.
Correct.
And, you know, I look at Maryland, and Maryland might get into the NCAA College World Series. And last time I knew, they're changing conferences.
Coming to the Big Ten.
They're in the Big Ten, so we got to be rooting for Maryland. I just feel like some Maryland ties now.
How would you feel? I mean, can you imagine being in the Super Regionals, you give up a total of 2 runs, and you're not coming to Omaha? The College of Charleston and Texas Tech, and Texas Tech wins both games 1-0. I mean, that would be a tough way to get knocked out. I mean, you're already a Cinderella story, and Texas Tech in their own right doesn't have that much to be jumping around and bragging about in their history of baseball. They've always been kind of solid, and they've brought that program back. But 1-0 both games?
Well, can you imagine the Texas Tech the Texas Tech, how they feel. They're going around, you know, and everybody's like, you got a hitting coach over there, and you got your pitching coach, and you, the pitching coach is going, "Hey, we're going to the College World Series. Could you guys step it up a little bit? How about a little run support here?
Might need more than one. We just went 18 innings of Yaya. Yeah. Come on. What are you doing over here?" Texas Tech is in. College of Charleston out. One game at 3 o'clock this afternoon, TCU Pepperdine. Then the other two games tonight are at 6 o'clock. Also, the Shrine Bowl, the crowd was probably down just a little bit, but near 5,000. It was a game that opened up in the fourth quarter. The North beat the South 30-7. The Creighton Prep young men did great. Easton Stick was named the offensive MVP and threw for 124 and ran for 94. R.J. Erzendowski of Creighton Prep, 112 yards receiving, including a touchdown. The defensive player of the game, which I could go on a whole rant about this, but if they're going to let the media vote, then let the media vote, not just two or three people that are up there in the press box. Harrison Phillips was the best defensive player, so I don't care what you read. Harrison Phillips was the defensive player of the game. You take a look at baseball. Carney Renzo went 1-4 in Omaha this weekend. Carney Post 52 went 2-1. Carney Five Points Juniors went 3-0 and won the Tom Dinsdale Woodbat Classic in Grand Island. Hastings Five Points swept Waverly and Omaha Roncalli yesterday, and Hastings Johnson Imperial Home took a doubleheader from Lexington. So there you have it. And I think that'll put a wrap on this Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug, I'm going to see you tomorrow, and we're going to have some trivia. And I like it when I'm here on Trivia Day. That's fun. I'm going to try to win it. And I'm going to have my whole family call in because I want that $25 gift certificate.
I'm going to make it hard.
I want some Troutman meat. I got, because I'm starving right now.
Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up tomorrow. Plus, Drew Anderson, scout for the Milwaukee Brewers. Kearney native is going to join us on the show tomorrow. More on the College World Series and as many of the coaches and schools that we can represent, we will have for you this week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We do want to thank UC Irvine head coach Mike Gillespie and Alex Myers from Golf Digest for joining us on the show today. Jimmy, I'll see you tomorrow.
Take care.
Doug Duda saying have a great Monday, everyone. We will see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.